There's something which is interesting about the very beginning of Bahar. Thanks. Those of you that are following Vayikra, Perek Chaf Hei, chapter 25, it says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, God spoke to Moshe, Bahar Sinai Lemor, at Mount Sinai, saying. Now, over here, Rashi notes something. Why is it that the Torah begins this parasha telling us that God said this at Mount Sinai? Weren't all the laws said at Mount Sinai? So indeed, Rashi says, yeah, all the laws were said at Mount Sinai. So what Rashi teaches us over here is that Shemitah, if you go through the laws over here, Shemitah is said with incredible detail. For example, the laws of Shabbos are not said anywhere nearly as much detail as you have over here by the laws of Shemitah. The laws of Shabbos, many of them are based upon rabbinic tradition, oral tradition. Over here by Shemitah, things are written clearly. By the way, logically, I can have a very simple reason for this. Something which is practiced every week is much easier to pass on than something which is practiced every 7 years. So therefore, you're going to practice every 7 years, and the Torah has more reason to put it in detail because more things could become confused. Something which is practiced every week would be much easier to pass on. So I'm just saying why that may be. Nonetheless, the Torah, Rashi says, based on tradition, based on the rabbis, that just like Shemitah was said in detail at Mount Sinai, all the other laws were taught to Moses in detail at Mount Sinai. And in a sense, Rashi's explanation really begs the issue. If all laws were said in detail at Mount Sinai, why stress it over here? Now, I did offer just now in passing a suggestion, because maybe this is not that often, but that doesn't seem to be enough of a reason to change the form of this verse than just about every other verse, every other law. I mean, everything was said at Sinai, why stress it over here? So, as I said, Rashi solves the problem in his way, dealing with what he would call pshat, simple level of understanding. On the other hand, the Ramban tells us over here, Vihine bichan, oruotanu bisod gadol nisodot haTorah. In this verse, in this instance, in this area of law, the Torah is teaching us one of the great mystical secrets of the Torah. Now he's going to go on a little bit and start to explain it. The truth is, to understand this Ramban, we have to look at a number of other sections in the Ramban, but let me read maybe a little bit more of this one. Kvar Ramaz Lanu, Rav Avraham, the Ibn Ezra, Rav Avraham Ibn Ezra, already hinted at us, the Tam Shabbat LaHashem, Ki Yom HaShabbat. Now, when it talks about the sabbatical year, it says, V'yidaber Hashem Moshe b'har Sinai l'emor, D'bar b'nei Israel, speak to the children of Israel, Amar t'lehem, and say to them, Ki Tavo El Ha'aretz, when you come to the land, Asher Ani Noten Lachem, which I'm going to give to you, Vishavta ha'aretz, the land shall rest, Shabbat l'Hashem, a Sabbath to God. Now, God does not need to rest. Why is this called a Shabbat l'Hashem, a Sabbath? So, the Ramban quotes from the Ibn Ezra, and he said, V'tam Shabbat l'Hashem, the reason why it says Shabbat l'Hashem, a Sabbath to God, Ki Yom HaShabbat, because this should be compared in some way, shape, or form to the Sabbath. V'sod yemot olam, Ramuz b'makom hazeh. And the secret of the age of the world is hinted at in this place. Now the Ramban continues and he says himself, that's what the Ibn Ezra said, V'chof oznecha, literally cup your ear, l'shmoa, to listen, ma sha'ani rashai l'hashmiacha, that which I'm permitted to reveal to you. Mimenu, for me, b'loshon asher ashmiacha, in the language which I'm going to say it. V'im tizkeh, and if you'll be worthy, titbonan, you'll become wise, you'll understand. Kvar katafti v'seder breshit, I've already written in my commentary in Genesis, kisheshit yimei breshit hem yimot olam, the 6 days of Genesis are the days of the world. V'yom hashvi, the Sabbath, yom hashvi shabbat l'shem alokecha. And the Sabbath is for God. Kivoya Shabbat l'shem hagadol, for the Sabbath is for God. Kimosha shaninu, and as he quotes from another place. V'hine hayamim remez l'asher bara b'maseh bereshit. V'hashanim yirmezu l'asher yeh b'vriyat kol yimei olam. This is a hint that which took place in the Genesis, and it hints at that which will be the duration of the world. V'al kein hichmir hakatuv b'shmita yoter mikol chai v'lavin. Therefore, the Torah was more careful, more stringent with the laws of Shemitah, of the sabbatical laws, than any other law. V'chayev hagalut aleha, kimo shehichmir ba'arayot. Shenemar az tirtzeh ha'aretz et shabtoteh. Okay, those of you who have already lost, let me try to explain what he's telling us. In next week's parsha, I already told you this. Next week's parsha, excuse me, in the next parsha, because we have two this week. Next parsha, B'chukosai, it says, if you don't keep the Sabbaths, you don't keep the Shemitah, you won't let your land rest every seventh year, you'll be kicked out of the land. And when you're kicked out of the land, it says, Va'az, and then the land will be able to have its rest. The Ramban, why so strict about the laws of Shemitah? Now, so far, the Ramban, if you see, he's building up an argument. He's also doing it in a very interesting manner. He's telling you there's a great mystical secret over here. They didn't tell what it is yet. He says, if you listen carefully, you'll get it, if you're lucky. He said, there's something here which is very, very strict going on. But he doesn't explain exactly what it is that he's talking about. There's a thing which is called Maaseh Bereishis. Well, the way they pronounce it in Yeshiva is Maaseh Bereishis. You ever heard of it? The Mishnah tells us, literally it means the act of creation, the story of creation. The Mishnah says that there are certain things that can't be taught publicly. Certain issues about sexuality, it says, you shouldn't teach to three people. Three people in the room, one person can talk to the other, not hear exactly what you're saying, get confused. Only to two people can be taught to. There are certain things, it says, like Maaseh Bereishis, can only be taught to one person. Then it says there are certain things that can't even be taught to one person, but that's not for today. This is part of the mystical doctrine, what sometimes is called today Kabbalah. Let me stop a second and go back to an earlier comment of the Ramban. The Ramban wants to know, why does the Torah begin with Bereishit Bara? In the beginning, God created. Rashi asks the same thing. Why start with the story of creation? Start with Abraham. Tell the story of Adam. Tell the story of Moses. Start with the laws. Why start over here with the story of Bereishit? So the Ramban writes, Ki Hisharish Amunah. It's the basis of our belief. V'she'enu Mamin B'zeh. And if somebody doesn't believe in what our tradition is, V'choshev Sha'olam Kadmon, and thinks the world is eternal, was never created, Hu Kofer Be'ikar, V'ein Lo Torah Klal. He's rejected the very basis of belief and has no Torah. What the Ramban is referring to over here is more of an Aristotelian position. Somebody believes the world has been around forever, was never created, there was no creation. Ramban says, why does the Torah have to begin with, and in the beginning God created? Because if you don't believe in creation, then you don't believe in anything in terms of Torah. Again, if you don't believe in creation, then where does God fit in if the world always was? So he says, no, it's the basis belief. Nation Maaseh Bereishit, and now he uses that same term, Maaseh Bereishit, the act of creation, sod amok, it's a deep mystical secret. Eino muvan min mekraot, and it cannot be understood from the verses themselves. V'lo yuda al-buryav ela mipi ha-kabbalah, and the only way you can know it is by Kabbalah. What does Kabbalah mean? So you use the word Kabbalah, right? What does Kabbalah, what does the word mean? To have received a tradition. The only way you can know this is if you have a tradition. Ad Moshe Rabbeinu Pi Agvur, going all the way back to Moses, who heard it from God. V'yod'av, and whoever knows this secret, Chayavin Lahastir Oto, is obligated to hide it. Now, what the Ramban said over here is that the idea of creation, or something about the process of creation, is one of the deep secrets of the Torah. He further says, in order to really know what's going on, you need a tradition. He further says that the idea of the creation, what went on in the creation, the mystical idea behind the creation, cannot be understood by the verses, and whoever knows it is obligated to hide it. So I have a question. Does the Ramban know it, or does he not know it? How do you know? Don't use that type of logic. Tell me, based on what he just now said, does he know it or does he not know it? How do you know? I didn't tell you either. Doesn't mean I know it. What? But how does he know? But how do you know that he knows it? There's one thing that he says here that makes it very clear that he knows it. What's that? He says that the deep mystical idea of what the creation is all about cannot be understood from the verses. Only if you know it can you say the negative. Only if you know what it is can you say, and it can't be understood from the verses. If you don't know it, then how can you make that negative comment? Only by knowing something positive can you say something negatively. The Ramban over here obviously knows it, he's hiding it, and he thinks it's very valuable. What's interesting is that the Ramban himself, throughout his commentary, and he comes back to this idea around five different places, he gets, each time he comes back to it, he gets more and more encouraged and more perhaps braver. Or maybe the place to unveil deep mystical ideas is not in your comments to the first verse of the Torah. By the way, the Ramban got into trouble for this commentary. It was considered in its time when it was published to have been the most brazen work there is because it revealed so much mystical doctrine. Till this point, mystical doctrine was hardly ever written down and was taught from one mystic to the other. So even to point out in the verses, by the way, right over here, right in the first verse, there's a great mystical doctrine here, but you're not allowed to really say what it is. That itself got people upset. Why is he giving people hints where all the mysticism is? Mysticism isn't for everybody. So over here, so far we know that there's something about creation, as far as the Ramban is concerned, is one of the great mysteries of the Torah. Second, we see, you know what, I'll throw in a second piece. The Ramban wants to know, if you remember in the beginning, okay, right after the Ten Commandments were given, that's in Parshas Yisro, the next portion is called Mishpatim. And here are the laws. Eilu Mishpatim. What's the first law which is said? Eved Ivri. Talks about slavery. A slave can be a slave for 6 years, indentured servitude is probably a better term. A person would be a slave for 6 years and released on the seventh. The Ramban says, why, of all the beautiful commandments of the Torah, why start with this one? There are lots of different commandments. God had 630 commandments to choose from. Why start with slavery? So the Ramban, on his comment to that verse, says, Ki tikna eved ivri, hitzchil mishpat rishon be'eved ivri. V'bnei sheyesh b'shiluach ha'eved b'shana ha'shvi'it zeich leitziat Mitzrayim. When you set the slave free, it's sort of like the Exodus of Egypt, which was mentioned by the first of the Ten Commandments. Egypt was. As it says, remember that you were slave to God, slave to Pharaoh in Egypt. And it also has a reference to Maaseh Bereshit, to creation, like Shabbat, which is basically going on the number here. Just like the number 7 is found by Genesis, 6 days of the week, God rested on the seventh. Same to over here, slave works for 6 years, is freed on the seventh. So it's connected to Maaseh Bereshit. Now again, Maaseh Bereshit is not a term which is pariv. It's a term which has within it a deep mystical implication, namely the act of creation, that which is not permitted to be taught publicly. The Ramban further says, V'yesh ba'odshvi b'shanim shehu ha'yovel. And there's another 7, and that's 7 shmitot, right? 7 times 7 is the Jubilee year, right? You've heard of the Jubilee year? Everything returns back to the way it was? Okay. He says, for the number 7 was chosen by days and years and Shemitahs. The Hakola Inyon Echad, and all of this point to one thing, V'hu Sod Yemo Ta'olam, the secret of the age of the world. So you see again, the Ramban over here is telling you, there's something going on, there's some mystical doctrine, not everybody knows it. Does the Ramban know it? It sounds pretty clear. There's another place where the Ramban talks about this as well. In the Ramban's writings, those of you who want to look it up, it's in the English version of his writings on page 117, he writes, Rabbi Abram ibn Ezra already intimated when he wrote, the secret of the years of the world is alluded to this place. Nowhere else in the Ibn Ezra's works is there a better statement than this, which is indicative of his good understanding of Kabbalah. Which means the Ramban uses that phrase of the Ibn Ezra that I said before, when he said a little bit that the secret of the age of the world is in this place. He said, that comment of the Ibn Ezra indicates to me that the Ibn Ezra possessed mystical understanding. So the Ramban over here now, everything, if you put everything together, it's clear that the Ramban believes that there's something about the creation, 6 days, seventh day Shabbos, something about Shemitah, something about the number seven. Seven is chosen by days and weeks and years and Shemitahs, which hints at the age of the world. Now, let's go back a second. Why should the age of the world be such a complicated thing? Everybody in this room knows the Jewish tradition says the world is exactly 5,759 years old. Why is the Ramban getting himself all excited? The answer is that the Ramban didn't believe that the world today would be 5,759 years old. The Ramban is alluding to, in all these comments, to a teaching which is found in one of the mystical documents which most likely none of you ever heard of by name. The book is called the Sefer HaTmuna, the book of the picture. The Sefer HaTmuna is similar to what the Zohar is, and similar to some of these other types of mystical books. Sefer HaTmuna is an ancient book, and in it he talks about what we can call the theory of the Jubilees. But in order to understand even the core of the Sefer HaTmuna's argument, let me read to you a passage in the Talmud. Amar Rav Katina. Rav Katina taught, Shesh alfei shani havi alma v'chad charuv. The world will last for 6,000 years, and then for one it will be destroyed. And you ever hear that idea? That by the year 6,000 the Messiah will come? Ever hear such a thing? This is where it comes from. The world will last for 6,000 years, and then for one, by the way, the one here, it's not clear if the one is 1 year or 1,000 years. Actually, it sounds like it's 1,000 years. Shenemar, as it says, and it quotes a verse. Abayi Omar, Abayi comes and he said, and he has another opinion. The Gemara then comes back and says, Tanya Kavasa Rav Katina. We have a teaching which supports Rav Katina. Kishem Shahashvius Mishametis Shana Achas L'Sheva Shonim, Kacha Olum Mishamid Elif Shonim L'Shevas Alafim Shana. Just as the sabbatical year causes a rest of 1 year and seven, so too the world will rest 1,000 after 6,000 years. I want to ask you something. Rav Katina says the world will last for 6,000 years and then there'll be a break. Something else will happen. If you were Rav Katina and you wanted to draw a parallel of the concept of six and one, what would be the most likely parallel to use? The week. 6 days of the week and then the seventh is rest. Why does Rav Katina jump to the more obscure law, to the law of Shemitah, once every 7 years, when he could have said something which everyone would have understood the reference immediately? 6 days you work, 1 day you rest. Again, Rav Katina is telling us the world will last for 6,000 years and 1,000 destroyed, and the Gemara says, we have proof for Rav Katina because this idea of six and one is a very well-known idea. Look at it, it's by Shemitah. This is a very subtle point. Do you hear what I'm saying? He should have said Shabbos. Do you all understand this point? What's the difference between Shemitah and Shabbos, and don't tell me years and days? There's another difference. Yeah? That you're all correct about. But by using the idea of six and one, if you just want to illustrate six and one, then you use Shabbos. There's one difference between Shemitah and between Shabbos, yeah? Still, it's more than that. Shabbos, every 6 days from creation, we work. On the seventh, we rest. Each cycle begins again, week after week after week after week, and they're all identical. Shemitah is part of a larger system. Shemitah is part of a system. You have one Shemitah, and then a second one, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh. After seven Shemitahs, that's what he's saying. After seven Shemitahs, then you have Yovel. The Jubilee, the 50th year, the time of the great return, when all the land returns back to its rightful owners, right? The great Jubilee. If the Talmud is using Shemitah as its source, it's already opening the door to tell us that it could be that there's a much larger system taking place, This is what the Sefer HaTemuna teaches. I just want to show you. What the Sefer HaTemuna spells out in mystical doctrine is hinted at in the Talmud. Again, you have to understand the Talmud to be able to have gotten to this point. What the Sefer HaTemuna claims is that the world is created. The world will last for 6,000 years. And then what will happen? Everything will stop. And then what will happen? Everything starts up again. So now I have a question for you. We're sitting here in the year 5,759. From when? So you'll say from creation. How do you know? The Ramban says that if you read the verses, you won't get it. There's something else happening over here. The world is far older than you think. The secret of the age of the world exists in these verses. Now, before you get all excited, you'd say, hold it. Everybody knows this is Jewish doctrine, that the world is as old as we say it is. So, and there are various, and I really don't mean to make fun of anybody, but there are various physicists running around trying to understand, okay, how can we understand the Torah together with the verses in the Bible? Realize what the Ramban said. You don't know how old the world is if you read the Bible. There's something else happening over here. There's something much deeper going on over here. Now, this idea of the Ramban is not the sole possession of the Ramban. He's not the only one to speak about it. As a matter of fact, this position of the Ramban may very well have been the major opinion during the Middle Ages. The Ramban believes in this idea. The Ibn Ezra, as we saw, believes in this idea. The Sefer HaChinuch makes reference to this idea. The Kuzari mentions this idea. Rabbeinu B'chayir mentions this idea. And the list goes on and on. I just mentioned half the people in Koros Gadolos. But nonetheless, you people may never have heard it before, and you've all been taught that the world is X amount of years old. The answer is that our belief is that the world is that many years old since Adam. A whole separate question, was Adam the first man or not? And I know what everyone will tell you, the Jewish belief is yes or no. I'll just say like this, it's not so simple. Let me look at the first verse in the Chumash for a second. Because I know you all know what it says. Bereshis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve-es-aretz. What does that mean? Translate? In the beginning. Good. Now I just want to read it with a little different emphasis. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And what's the next verse? And then God destroyed everything. Do you understand what I'm saying? What the Ramban is telling us, what he's hinting at over here, is that there is a secret involving the age of the earth. The age of the earth, you cannot get it from the verses directly. Because you read the verse, you think it's telling you, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and then the next verse, and the world was empty and void. Void and empty. When was it void and empty?
After it was destroyed.
So is that describing the next stage right after creation? Or was the world created, did it last for 6,000 years? Was there some prehistoric era? And then there was a major apocalypse and the world was empty and void. And then we start up again. Which means, you understand what I'm saying? Which means certain things that people just take for granted is not necessarily the case. And again, I want to insist, the Ramban tells us that you can't understand what's happening unless you have a tradition. The Ramban says that he has a tradition. Or if you didn't get that yet, the Ramban has a tradition. The Ramban's tradition is that there are various cycles, what we can call them in Hebrew, shmitot. There are various sabbatical cycles. Are we in the first cycle? Are we in the second cycle? We're in the third cycle, the fourth cycle, the fifth cycle, the sixth cycle, the seventh cycle. Actually, that's something which you'll find major Kabbalists disagreeing about. Virtually nobody says we're in the first cycle. Very difficult to find a Kabbalist who'll tell you we're in the first cycle. Some have insisted that we're in the second, some the fourth, some the sixth, and some the seventh. I didn't see anyone say the third or the fifth. But maybe it's just because I haven't looked hard enough. I obviously it's going to make a very big difference which cycle we're in. Are we pulling now to the end of the seventh cycle? And when we talk about the end of the 6,000 years, we get to that 7,000th year. Is that the 50th year? Is that the Great Jubilee? Is this the end? I mean, the whole Sefer Temunah can be accused of being a very antinomian book. Okay, I know you don't know what that means. A book which is against normal understanding of Judaism. Sefer Temunah talks about parallel existences in a different cycle, that maybe instead of a Torah having 22, the Hebrew alphabet having 22 letters, one of having 23 letters, which does not need to be taken literally either. It's talking about a different type of an existence. I first heard a lot of the things that I'm telling you now. I built it up a lot because I did some research in it. But I actually heard a lot of this in a tape that my father gave me. The tape was a tape of actually one of the men who was one of the great rabbinic scholars and a great physicist as well. A man who you probably all heard of. His name was Arye Kaplan. In 1979, Arye Kaplan gave a talk. And I said, I have the tape. It's not a question of hearing somebody that said from somebody. I have a tape that he gave, which was called The Age of the Universe According to a Kabbalistic Tradition. The book, the tape was actually later transcribed and was later published. In it, Arye Kaplan, he goes the next step. He tries to do something which I think he's quite mistaken about. There was a student of the Ramban named Rabbi Isaac from Akko, of Yitzchak from Akko. He came across a writing from Yitzchak of Akko who says the following. I, the insignificant Yitzchak of Akko, have seen fit to write a great mystery that should be kept very well hidden. You hear echoes of the Ramban's words himself over here. One of God's days is 1,000 years, as it says, for 1,000 years in your eyes is a day. Since one of our years is 365,000 and a quarter days, a year on high is 365,250 of our years. This is to refute those who believe the duration of the world is only 49,000 years, which is 7 jubilees. Okay? What's he saying? If you think the duration... Now, I want to tell you something. I translated what he wrote as duration. It's obviously duration because you're talking about 7 cycles. Each one is 7 years. 7 times 7,000 is 49,000. So any of you think that the duration of the world is only 49,000 years, it's not the case because we know that when we talk about years... From God's perspective, it's quite different. Remember, Adam is told, if you eat from the tree, the day you eat, you'll die. Adam, when does he die? When he's 930 years old. So a very simple explanation. It says the day. Whose day? God's day. God, a day for God is 1,000 years. So why did he die at 930? There's also a mystical tradition about this. Why? Because it says that he looked through the various generations. He saw King David was going to die the day that he was born. That David would have been a stillbirth. And he saw this incredible radiant soul, and he said, what is that? And he says, well, that's a man named David who, if he would have lived, would have been a great man, but he's not going to live. So Adam says, let him have 70 years of my life. And therefore Adam dies at 930, and David dies at 70. By the way, the deeper idea there is that the whole necessity for a King David, the necessity for the world to be redeemed, is because Adam sinned. So therefore Adam was particularly worried about the world becoming redeemed. So that's what's going on there. But there you can say, based on the same idea, that for God, a day is 1,000 years. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak of Akko is telling you that the way to really understand this is that the world, you have to take the 49,000 and multiply it by 365,000 and change. What Arye Kaplan therefore did is he said, well, if we are now in the sixth cycle, right? If we're now in the sixth cycle, let me just think for 1 second. Let's say then that there were 42,000 years prior to this one. So he said, well, take 42,000 and multiply it by 365,000, and you'll end up with 15 billion years. So he said, so therefore, the tradition that is based on the Sefer HaTemuna, based on the Ramban, based on the Yitzchak from Akko, matches exactly what the modern physicists say. Now, again, with all due respect, I just have to point out a couple of things. First of all, Ari Kaplan was a great physicist. Again, I don't know if you know this, but he was a personal assistant to the man who developed the hydrogen bomb. He was a genius in mathematics, a genius in physics, and at some point in his life, he was involved in physics exclusively. He was on the Who's Who in America among physicists and so on. He was probably far more bothered by the scientific data than I am, because, frankly, I've never lost a night's sleep because of scientific data and how it contradicts or doesn't contradict or matches Judaism. I was brought up perhaps very different than he was brought up. And I find this interesting. I don't find it more than that. I find it very interesting that the age of the universe is not Jewish dogma, although you'll find very many rabbis who will tell you that if you don't believe the world is this many years old, then you're a heretic. As we see right over here clearly, the Ramban didn't believe that, and numerous others. You have to be careful who we call heretic. Also, to be fair, the Arizal, Rav Yitzchak Luria, he was the greatest Kabbalist of modern times. He got up and he said, on this particular point, the Ramban is wrong. That's what he said, the Ramban is wrong. And when it talks about the mystical cycles, those are theoretical, theological, cosmological issues that are being played out in a completely different sphere than this earth. So the Arizal said the world is literally today 5,759 years, and that's all. There's nothing more to talk about. So once the Arizal took this, and I'll call it a fundamentalist approach, it did impact on later generations to the extent that most people never heard of this other idea. I think it's a very big difference. And by the way, most if not all, I'd be pretty comfortable to say, without knowing better, I'd be pretty comfortable to say that all Hasidic thinkers who follow the Arizal would not disagree with the Arizal. The Arizal said, the Ramban is wrong, that's it, everyone else forget about the Ramban. So people did. And therefore, you won't find anybody today teaching this idea that we're learning now. Nonetheless, as far as the Ramban is concerned, and we all know the Ramban was arguably the greatest mystic of his time, the Ramban said that this is one of the great secrets of the Torah, and if you listen carefully, you'll understand it. The Ramban was convinced the world was not exactly that age. And what's really interesting about the Ramban is that the Ramban lived in a time when, if you've noticed, what he's combating is, on the one hand, Aristotelian philosophy, which believes the world existed forever. And on the other hand, he's battling Christian fundamentalism. And that was, he did spend some time of his life actually debating Christians. Christians believe this literally. The Aristotelians didn't believe that the world was created at all. And he's coming out and saying, the truth is that you're both wrong. The world is created, but it's far older than any of you think it is. In fact, it's thousands and thousands of years older than anybody here thinks they know, but it's not important. Because our focus is on Adam, and that's all that we're going to focus on. Our focus is on this world, and therefore previous worlds are very interesting, but it's not really the issue. Which means if anybody would or has asked me in the past, if in my mind, if the age of the world is one of these crucial teachings in Judaism, that the world is this and this amount of years old, not at all. Matter of fact, as far as I can tell, that the idea of 5,759 isn't even talking about the age of the world, it's talking about the time back to Adam. And I'll just say right now that if anybody's really interested in perhaps if there ever was prehistoric man according to Judaism, then take a look what I wrote on Parshas Bereishis, or I'm not sure if I gave it as a class this year, but what I wrote in Parshas Bereishis this year in 5759. And I show all sorts of midrashim which are quite comfortable with prehistoric man and doesn't have any questions about it. So Ari Kaplan was very bothered by like this, and when he was able to come to the conclusion that the Jewish age matches exactly what the age of the physicists were saying, he was elated. Now, there's one slight problem. The same Rav Yitzchak from Akko, who talks about this, that you have to multiply everything by 365,000, in his commentary to the Sefer Yetzirah, to the Book of Creation, writes, this world, the Shemitah cycle, which we're in, is the sphere of Gevurah. as we have seen all the punishments in this world of our fire, which means according to Yitzchak from Akka, we're in the second cycle. So his whole building falls apart. And the claim that six have already gone by just simply is not the teaching of Rav Yitzchak of Akko. But what I think what's really interesting about all this is that sometimes people sort of like trap themselves, and sometimes people create dogmas that we really don't have. And it's unfortunate. I'm not going to say that Judaism is hard enough as it is. I don't think it's hard. I think it's rewarding. I think it's meaningful. But what I will say is that there are certain things that people just take for granted, have not necessarily researched it the way that it was supposed to be. I would not want to be the one to call this dogma, and I would not want to be the one to say that anybody who disagrees at the exact age of the earth is a heretic from Jewish position, because if you say that, you'll end up writing off a number of our greatest authorities that we ever had, including, as I said before, the Sefer Chinuch and the Ramban, Rabbi Mechaye, and the Ibn Ezra, and so on and so forth. I would hesitate before making such a sweeping statement. It would be true to say that most rabbis today take this literally. Most rabbis today have the position that the age of the world is something which is a question of belief, and they follow the Arizal on this, Rav Yitzchak Luria, and they say the world is 5,759 years old. On the other hand, as we've seen, there are other people who believe something is very, very different, and this, as I said, is one of the great mysteries of the Torah, one of the great Kabbalistic teachings of the Torah. And you have to just be a little careful about Ramban, because as far as he's concerned, not only is this one of the great mysteries of the Torah, Kabbalistic teachings of the Torah, as far as he's concerned, he has a tradition on this, going back from person to person to person, all the way back to Moses at Mount Sinai, who heard from God.